What are those things which break a person's fast? What are those matters that if a fasting person does them, his fast is invalidated? And the fuqaha have divided the mufattirat or the mufsidat into six matters. Either there are six things which invalidate and break a person's fast. The first of them is eating or drinking intentionally. Pay attention. Eating or drinking intentionally. Meaning if a person ate or drank whilst he was fasting unintentionally, he forgot that he was fasting, and then he ate or drank, then there's nothing upon that person. And the fast is complete. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا نَسِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَأَكَلَ أَوْ شَرِبَ فَلْيُتِمُّ صَوْمَهُ فَإِنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if one of you was fasting and he forgot and he ate or drank, then let him complete his fast. It is as if Allah has given him something to eat or given him something to drink. So forgetfully eating or drinking does not break a person's fast. But as soon as you remember, you have to stop eating or drinking. If a person eats or drinks intentionally, whether he eats or drinks a little amount or a lot, or it is beneficial for him or harmful for him, the fast is broken. And the fuqaha have mentioned that if a person swallows a piece of the miswak, but he swallows the piece of the miswak intentionally, with the intention of breaking his fast, even though it isn't food and drink, his fast is still broken. So it goes back to a person having the intention to break his fast through eating and drinking. Forgetfully, there's no sin upon that person. If a person eats or drinks intentionally and breaks the fast, what is upon the person? Three things. Firstly, he or she has to understand that the fast is invalid. It is not accepted by Allah. Secondly, they have to make tawbah and al-istighfar. They have to seek forgiveness from Allah for disobeying Him and for succumbing to the desires and eating and drinking. And the third thing is they have to make qadha. And the meaning of qadha is they have to make up that fast at a later stage. Some of the fuqaha have even mentioned that a person who breaks his fast intentionally, there's no qadha for him. Because qadha is in an instance when the sharia allows you to break the fast. So for example, I said, if a person becomes ill, breaks the fast and does qadha, a person travels, it's going to harm the person, he or she is weak, a Muslim sister and she starts bleeding, or she is in childbirth, or she's pregnant and fasting is going to harm her or the child, then the sharia allows them to make qadha later on. This person who sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the fuqaha have mentioned that there's no opportunity for him or her to make qadha. Rather, he has to make tawbah. He has to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the other ulama, they said, no, he still has to make qadha. And this is out of respect of this great ritual of fasting. Now, there are other things which are similar to eating and drinking, and they also break the fast. If somebody takes an injection or any medicine, and this injection or this medicine, it provides nutrition to the body, number one. Or this medicine is taken via the throat, the mouth, the throat, into the stomach. In both cases, the fast is broken. So if a person takes, for example, multivitamin or minerals in any way or in any shape, and it provides nutrition to the body, then it is like food and drink, and therefore the fast is broken. Or a person takes medicine through the mouth, the throat, into the stomach, the fast is broken. But if a person takes an injection, for example, and it doesn't have any nutritional value, it does not provide any nutrition to the body, the fast is not broken. For example, a person goes to the dentist, and the dentist gives him an injection, a local anesthetic on the cheek, for example. The anesthetic, it only numbs the pain. It doesn't provide any nutrition to the body. And therefore, the fast is complete. And the fast is valid. And then there are other things which people think or they are confused about and they don't break the fast. So, for example, rinsing the mouth does not break the fast. Using toothpaste and toothbrush does not break the fast. Using perfume does not break the fast. Alcohol in the eyes does not break the fast. A woman wearing makeup does not break the fast. Ear drops and eye drops do not break the fast. The nose drops, some of the ulama, they mentioned that because the nose is connected to the throat, then you have to be more careful. Only if there is an absolute severe need to do so, then a Shaykh Ibn Baz's fatwa is that it is permitted. Otherwise, a person should stay away from it. Why? Because the nose is connected to the throat. As for the eyes and the ears, they are not connected to the throat, and therefore a person can use eye drops and ear drops. So these matters are related to the first thing which breaks a person's fast, which is eating or drinking. Also using an inhaler. For a person who is suffering from asthma and asthmatic, using an inhaler. A Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he has a fatwa that it is permitted for an asthmatic to use an inhaler when he's fasting if there is a severe need to do so. And this doesn't break his fast. And this is because the inhaler, it is only gaseous, meaning it's only gas. It isn't liquid, nor is it solid. So therefore, it entering into the throat doesn't break a person's fast. As for smoking, smoking is haram inside of Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. And inside of Ramadan, it breaks the fast. So firstly, the person has the sin for smoking, whether it is inside or outside of Ramadan. And secondly, he has broken his fast. The second thing which breaks a person's fast is al-jima'. And al-jima' is marital relations, sexual intercourse. And if a person did this, then the fast of the man and the woman, it is broken. And there are five things upon them. The first thing is they have to understand that the fast is invalid. Of course, this is in the day of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted the spouses to have relations at night. Allah said in the Quran, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. It is permitted for you in the night of Ramadan to go to your women. But as for in the day of Ramadan when you are fasting, then you have to abstain from this. If a person does it, then there are certain things which are upon them. First of all, they have to understand that the fast is invalid with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not accepted. Secondly, at-tawbah and al-istighfar. They have to repent and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they succumbed to their desires in fasting when they should not have done so. The third thing is that they have to complete the rest of the day. So it isn't the case that if a person did this action, they say, okay, now we've broken our fast, we may as well eat and drink and carry on. No. They still have to have respect for Ramadan, and they have to continue fasting for the rest of the day, even though the fast is invalid. Fourth, they have to make up that fast which they broke later on. And fifth, there is a kafara, a penalty which they have to pay. And the penalty or the expiation which they have to pay is one of three things. Firstly, itq raqaba. They have to free a slave. If they cannot free a slave, like nowadays, there are no slaves around for us to free. So if you cannot do this, then the second thing is to fast 2 months consecutively. I 60 consecutive days of fasting after Ramadan. 60 consecutive days, one after the other, 2 months. And if a person cannot do this, then feeding 60 poor people. So this shows us the danger of this action. And therefore, you have to stay away from everything which may lead to this action. And when we say al-jima', we're talking about the action itself, i.e. penetration. The third thing which breaks a person's fast is a discharge of semen, seminal discharge. If it is intentional and out of desires, meaning if it is due to your own actions, or for example, the actions of your wife, and it is based upon desires, then it invalidates a person's fast. However, there is no kafara upon the person. So the kafara is only upon the person for al-jima', the previous one. As for seminal discharge, it breaks the fast. A person has to make a tawbah. They have to keep the rest of the day in fasting. And they have to make qadha, but there is no kafara upon a person. If a person suffers from a discharge of semen whilst he is fasting, but it was unintentional, it does not break the fast. So for example, a person slept in the day of Ramadan and then had a wet dream in the day of Ramadan. There's nothing upon the person. And he continues fasting. Or for example, there is a discharge of semen because of an illness or because of the weather. It does not break a person's fast. Only if it is based upon desires. You looked at something, you touched something, you embraced your wife, and then there was a discharge of semen, the fast is broken. The fourth thing which breaks a person's fast is inducing vomit. Meaning, if a person feels sick and is overcome by vomit, and he or she vomits, then the fast is okay. It does not break the fast. But if a person induces themselves to vomit, causes themselves to vomit, like those people who do when they put their fingers down their throat, or they take something to induce vomit, then the fast is broken. So only if it is an intentional inducing of vomit. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man dhara'ahu alqay, falaysa alayhi alqada." Whoever is overcome by vomit, there's no qada upon him. "Waman istaqa 'amdan falyaqdi." And whoever induces vomit intentionally, then they have to keep the fast at a later stage. I.e., they make tawbah and they carry on fasting for the rest of that day and then they make al-qadha. Now, if a person vomits as an illness and then they think that if I continue fasting it's going to be harmful for me, then they come under the ruling of an ill person. And then they don't have to fast on that day. The fifth thing which breaks a person's fast is the voluntary discharge of a lot of blood. The voluntary, guideline number one, discharge of a lot, guideline number two, blood. So the voluntary discharge of a lot of blood. What this means is that if blood flows from the body unintentionally, it does not break the fast. So for example, whilst a person was fasting, they had a gum bleed when they were brushing the teeth. It does not break the person's fast. And when they were fasting, they cut themselves and there was some blood which came out. It does not break their fast. Like many people, it happens in the summer. On the hot day when they don't drink water, they may suffer from a nosebleed. This does not break their fast. Or if a person gave a small amount of blood voluntarily, this does not break the fast. So for example, if you need to go to the doctors and you need to give a sample of blood for a blood test. When a blood test is done, only a small amount of blood is taken. This does not break the fast. But if it is a lot of blood which is discharged voluntarily, then the fast is broken. And this is of course based upon the ikhtilaf of the fuqaha. And it is based upon the cupping person, or the person who is cupped. So when a person goes for hijama, is the fast broken or not because blood is discharged from that person? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Aftar al-hajim wal-mahjum." That the one who is doing the cupping and the one upon whom the hijama is done, their fast is broken. Of course, there is ikhtilaf amongst the fuqaha. Some of the ulama said that it does not break the fast due to other ahadith. But the safer opinion, that which is ahwat, more safer for a Muslim, is that you should avoid the action. And then the last thing which breaks a person's fast is, as we mentioned, al-hayd wal-nifas. That if a woman, she goes through her monthly periods or she bleeds due to child labor, then her fast is broken and then she has to make up the fast at a later stage.